opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Lee Oswald has been shot.
Paddock fired out of two adjoining rooms using a device similar to a hammer to smash the windows.
Several flying saucers there of extraterrestrial origin.
How dare you?
Digging Chris Graves.
What's up, Chris?
All right. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Digging Chris Graves. It was the wrong intro, and I think I screwed up the Rumble thing again. I'm really getting sick of this technology. I just had an episode with Adam from Deborah Gets Red Pilled that was recorded, but now I'm going to have to upload it as a pre-recorded thing. Anyway, so now we have Jason Barker. I don't think we're on Rumble right now, but we're definitely on the Twitter feed. Welcome back to Digging Chris Graves. Welcome back, Jason.
Well, maybe you're the first one to get banned from Rumble. Wouldn't that be historical?
No, I don't think I'm an idiot when it comes to technology.
But anyway. Nah, you gotta get on that persistent stream key thing, because it makes it a lot easier. It's kind of complicated with Rumble, you know.
Yeah, and I'm pretty stupid right now. So yeah. What have you been up to, my friend?
You know, just doing the regular thing, working on the, well, I wouldn't call it a homestead here, but you know, stuff like that. But I did catch a show earlier with Adam, and I was trying to get in on there because I had some questions for him, and I took notes. Okay. So I kind of wanted to talk to you about some of those notes. And
well, I apologize. Adam's not here anymore. And I didn't see the questions on the stream until it was like way too late. So, yeah, let's go through that if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah, I totally get it. When you're on the producer, you're on the host side, producer side, production side, all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah. It gets,
I'm notorious for that, too. Yeah. I've been called out on not checking on the chat and things, but in the past, I've just been trying to concentrate on the conversation like in front of me. So, like I said, I'm pretty old school. I was hatched in the early 1980s. So when it comes to all this technology, I have a Walmart pay-as-you-go phone. Maybe that's too much information for the people out there, but I can't do multiple things, I guess. I can't multitask. I'm not a multitasker, I guess, because I ate too much sugar in the 1980s, like Count Chocula and things like that. So, Jason, let's go to your questions.
I mean, this is kind of a post show for the one you just did, and hopefully you upload these in order so it makes sense.
I will.
But, you know, I was kind of intrigued. I was sitting backstage listening to you and Adam go, and I've always wanted to talk to Adam. He seems like a pretty cool guy. And I've never like watched all the episodes.
Yeah, I feel bad because now he's not doing the show anymore. So I apologize.
No, but there's some stuff to that. And that was what I wanted to talk to him about.
Okay.
So we'll address that tonight. We'll kind of get into how the sausage is made, especially for podcasting. People that consume this kind of stuff don't understand what goes into it and the anxiety behind it and the preparation and, you know, the feeling of gratitude when you do a good show, you know, you feel good about yourself. And he mentioned that you know, and I'll talk about the first thing he said.
I'll tell you from my own personal experience, when I had like a big time guest, it is a high. Like if you feel like you really came across with that guest, it gives you a kind of a gratification, or it gives you a sense of purpose, you know, if you will. So from my own experience,
I think that, and this is going to play in later to one of the other points I have to make, is that when you can really get the information across in a comprehensive way, you feel really good about yourself, and you're not always sure you're going to do that from the start.
Right.
And, you know, especially a lot of these guests, and I'm just going to tell people now, you get a guest like I've had Texas Slim on. I really respect Texas Slim, Dr. LaGuardia. Sometimes they show up like literally 30 seconds before you go live. So, you don't really know what to expect, and you try to prepare. The anxiety is just off the rails because you don't want to waste people's time, you know. And one of the things that Adam talked about early on in the show was the anxiety before a show. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's many, many times, especially when I had a guest cancel on me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to do a show tonight because I'm not prepared to talk on this on my own. I try to have a few topics in my back pocket, which I'll talk about that later about topics. And you don't want to destroy your show. And I think where Adam's coming from watching what you guys talked about, I think that all the topics have been covered and he doesn't want to be repetitive.
Yeah.
You know? And I see a lot of podcasters out there that are very popular. They're just repetitive. They keep repeating the same stuff over and over again. It's almost like mainstream media at that point, right? It's the mainstream alt stream media.
Well, I've had a couple of mainstream podcasters want to hire me to do research and things, and all they want to do is go over the same shit that I've already talked about like 1,000 times. So it makes it very, very difficult in terms of trying to find new things for them. So that anxiety is like, every time I go on camera, I have anxiety, man. I feel like the knots, like I used to do open mic night at stand-up comedy shows, and to try to make an audience of strangers, not your family, an audience of strangers, and try to make them laugh is some of the most horrible, like gut-wrenching, like things you can do. So,
let me ask you this, just to get a little off topic and go back into our childhood real quick. Yeah. Not me and Chris were not children together, but I think that we had similar experiences. We used to play a game called Make Me Laugh, and it was usually with my brother, my stepsister, a couple of the neighbor kids that lived like a quarter mile down the road. And we would just sit around the living room while the parents were probably drinking booze or whatever in the kitchen.
Yeah, having a good time after working very hard all day.
And they would just throw us kids together and be like, go play. A lot of times they played like pinochle or spades or poker or something like that. You know, it was just adults doing adult things. They're like, you kids go take care of yourselves. And we played this game called Make Me Laugh. And it was just
for everyone out there, like I was hatched. I like to say hatched because I feel like I wasn't born. I was hatched in 83. If you don't mind me asking, what year were you hatched?
75.
1975. All right. So we got about a 9-year difference. It's pretty close. So, we kind of come from the same cloth in a way. I had a lot of people that were around me that were born in like the early 70s, mid 70s. So I feel like I was surrounded by people like yourself, like growing up and everything. So, and I always gravitated towards the people that were older than me anyway. I never really identified with people my own age. So
you can draw the dividing line with the movie Gremlins. Okay. So if you think Gremlins was scary, you're pre that period. And if you think it was corny, then you're post that period, probably a millennial or something.
That was 1984 for everyone out there.
Yeah. Or Muppets Take Manhattan, right?
Muppets Take Manhattan was 1980. Yeah. You know what? I appreciate the hell out of that movie, but you know what? With Gremlins, I didn't find it scary because I had a Gizmo doll like when I was like 3 or 4. So Gizmo is like the friendly gremlin before he like didn't eat after midnight or like had water dropped on him or whatever. Yeah.
Did you ever try to feed it just to see what would happen?
I think I did. And then I ended up just eating whatever I was trying to feed him. Right.
It's got to be cold chicken out of the fridge.
Yeah. It was just a plastic doll or whatever. So, I was sorely... I was also told that Santa Claus wasn't real. For anyone out there, full disclosure, spoiler, I found that out. Like,
this is no longer a family friendly show. 18 okay. and above. 18 and above, right?
All right, we carded you at the door, folks.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. No, anyway, back to the point, listening to you and Adam talk. The thing about doing a podcast, it's actually, I mean, let me ask you this. And I know I'm your guest, but let me ask you this. Isn't it much, much easier to be a guest on someone's show than it is to actually host and run a show?
Like 100%. 100%. I just talked to our mutual friend, Franco, earlier about this. Every time I'm a guest on a show, I feel like they're having me on there for a reason, which, you know, a predetermined reason, whether it's something, a topic I looked into prior or whatever. But I'll tell you this right now, Jason, my feelings have kind of changed a little bit. I feel like when I'm a guest on other people's shows now, it feels like I'm just doing like a book report in front of the class. So really? it kind of feels like that. And that's why I kind of pushed back on other podcasts that wanted to have me as a guest. Because it just feels like at a certain point, it just feels like you're literally doing a book report. There's no other way for me to really describe it. You're doing a book report for the front of the class or whatever. When it comes to my own shows, usually if I have a guest that I have booked, I like to think I'm pretty well versed in like the conversation that's going to happen. So it seems like with my own shows, it's less of a task or less of a chore than when I'm being asked to be a guest on another show. Because like I said, it's kind of turned into that, what's the research you found or whatever. And it's literally like a book report. And it's almost like it becomes less of a friendly conversation and more of a, I hope I get a good grade with the teacher, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if like you've ever had that kind of feeling.
I actually have. And I would just, hopefully I've never done that to you, but I like personality. The personality is what I like. You know, the information plus the personality, because and I'm never going to assign, you know, like hit you with something that you don't know about already. I'm going to make sure you know about it. And I've actually had people on where I've actually told them, hey, these are the topics I want to talk about. And I hate to do that. I hate to give people homework.
Well, it's good for them to know exactly where
you're going. Yeah, I just don't want to sidebar, you know, catch them off guard.
Right.
And they do that in the mainstream. They do that a lot. They'll bring people on. And that's one of the things I didn't like about Tucker, to be honest with you. I was a huge Tucker fan. I was a huge O'Reilly fan. I was a huge Dan Bongino fan. I was a Fox guy all the way, right? And those are my three favorites. But I would notice that they would bring people on, and the people coming on would think they're coming on to talk about one thing. And then they would sidebar it into something that they, just because they want to discredit the other side, they would sidebar the conversation.
You said with Fox News, it would be 9/11 truth subjects with O'Reilly and especially Tucker too.
Yeah. And now it's a way to discredit your opposition. Tucker.
Oh, absolutely. And now Tucker is, now that he is quote unquote
independent alt media.
Now he's all about talking about things like Building 7 and JFK, and I think he's full of shit, but I can understand.
I'm with you on that, brother. And, you know, I will agree with some other people in, you know, in our space and our friends that say as long as he's getting the truth out there, there's something to that. But take it with a grain of salt, because I promise you now, I promise you this, I promise all of your listeners this, they were all introduced at the same time that all the freaking views were going down and the stocks were dropping. So they understood the mainstream, like MSNBC, Fox, CNN, they all understood that they're a dying media. So they're trying to work their way into what the new media is, which is really short clips. I know we do kind of long form kind of stuff, but generally it's like 20 minutes tops. And they're trying to work their way into that right now. Russell Brand the same way. You know, I know Russell Brand and our friend Gardner Goldsmith likes to use Russell Brand clips, but Russell Brand's no different. He was
in. I don't trust Russell Brand either.
I don't either.
Personally. Yeah.
I don't either. Now, if they're putting out good information, that's great. But I think
this but why are they? Who is giving that? That's my question for everybody out there. Who's giving these people, these talking heads, that information to get out? And what is the motivation for it coming out now when a lot of this stuff has been out there for us conspiracy
people? So I'll give my answer. I'll let you and please, the audience, please leave a comment somewhere. Leave your opinions on it. But my opinion is that after COVID, people realize that the media just lies. It lies. And, you know, the media didn't realize that people were getting their information from places like TikTok and Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And I think that's also why, you know, why Twitter is now X and Elon took it over. I think that's a control move. And so what they've done is they have to get these mainstream people that are sellouts in their soul to relate to us. That's how they do it with everything, with rap music, with country music, with everything. They get people to relate to you. Then they switch their tactics. Okay. Look at how many people. Let's look at the LGBTQ community, right? Never seen this in the country world before. All of a sudden they bring out all these brand new artists.
Now are they all about that in the country?
Oh geez. Yeah. It's really? Kind of laced in. It's laced into a lot of the new contemporary country music. And these people started off with traditional country songs that sounded good, you know, kind of the newer upbeat kind of sound, but then they started lacing in this other stuff. What they have to do is they have to earn your trust first. Yeah. And then they can, I always call it getting market share. They have to get market share, and they have so many people behind them, as Tony Arterburn would call them, they're post turtles. Okay. Right. And I want to call this guy out so bad on Rumble. This guy's got like millions of followers. No, I'm not going to do it.
On my platform. Don't worry. Fuck it.
No, I'm just going to say there's some guy that, and I never understood people that play a game. And actually my nephew does this. He plays a game online that looks like a pixelated version of a, you know, original Game Boy before Game Boy
Color. Like the Candy Crush thing?
I don't know what it is, but he has a ton of followers. It's like, how do you get that? And they're donating money to him. And I'm like, what's going on here? But anyway, there's this guy that gets on there and just rambles about nothing at all. No substance to anything he talks about. And he has so many followers. Why? Because he's a post turtle. He was put there as a distraction.
Explain to people what Tony means by post turtle. I know.
Okay. What you mean, so I love this. And I never heard it before Tony mentioned it. But you're driving along like on a Texas highway or something. And you get the little wooden posts in the fence, you know, along the highway. And you come along and you see a turtle up on the top of a post.
Right.
You're like, how did he get up there? Well, somebody had to put him there. Right. So that's what a post turtle is. And you know, the bad thing about post turtles are they get knocked down and they put a new turtle up there later. So these people that are playing their game to push their propaganda, you know, it's like I said, they're getting market share. They artificially promote. You and I both know that they inflate numbers and deflate numbers to make certain people look more popular. Lately in my Twitter, and you know what? Elon can suck it, X, suck it, because I'm getting posts. Yeah. I'm getting posts from people that I don't follow and nobody have follow. Right. And then I'm looking and they got like millions of freaking followers. And I'm like, why do you have millions of followers? And you're an idiot. It's because somebody, it's one of those things when you sign up or whatever, say, hey, follow this person. They're promoted. They're the post turtles.
Right.
That's what they are. And you and I are like, we're like under the post turtles. They bury us. You know?
Yeah, I've been buried a couple times. Digging Chris Graves, everybody.
Yeah, that's what we're digging for. Get you out, man.
Right.
Anyway, can we go back to the
list of questions you had. Yeah.
So we were talking about, you know, doing podcasts, and again, this is the sausage being made. There is a lot of anxiety to doing a show. You don't want to give people a bad show, especially if they start donating to you. Now you're on a schedule. It's almost like you work for, like Adam said, like 20 people, you know. Yeah. They may or may not contribute, but you're kind of like, if you have any kind of morals or personality, you would say, I've made an obligation to these people. And I feel like I need to do that out of principle. That's where
you should be putting out content if you're accepting donations.
Yeah, if you promise it, you should keep your word. And anyway, the other thing is, so we fear being repetitive, and I think that's where Adam was. That's what I wanted to talk to him about. You know, he's pretty much covered every topic he wanted to cover in Red Pilling Deborah, right?
Yeah. So, Deborah's pretty much all pilled out.
Yeah. So like how do you keep this thing going when you've covered pretty much every topic? So you don't want to be repetitive. So you could switch the model to let's look at new developments in whatever the topic was. And then you have to rely on other people reporting on it. So you're going to, you know, and a lot of people have this model on their podcast. They're like a news aggregate site is what they like to call it. But I don't like that. I like finding breaking stuff, like stuff people are not paying attention to. So I could be original. I have a real hard time reporting on something that somebody just saw on another podcast like an hour ago. And that's just me personally.
Right.
You know, some people can do it. And I understand that, yeah, there is the same story with the personality you like, you know, their perspective on it, which I think is why a lot of people bring you on, Chris, is because you have a different perspective on maybe something other people have talked on. So that's something, and it's not a bad model.
I tried to bring that, but sometimes mine is just the same like everybody else's. I mean, a lot of this stuff gets pretty painful to even think about.
Yeah. And sometimes we need to be cheered up, you know? Anyway, and then the other thing that Adam talked about, you know, in the spirit of, you know, doing a post follow-up show or whatever, what do we talk about? Well, you know what? Right now it's tough. It's tough for a lot of podcasters who are trying to get original information and content and breaking stuff. You know why that is? It's a freaking voting cycle. And that's kind of a good and bad thing, because on voting cycles, then we know, election cycles, that's when everything is actually happening, but that's when they hide it all. So it's really, really hard to find. So the work that goes into it to find this stuff out and validate it is really difficult, but it's always the breaking stuff. And I remember right now everybody's talking about the mRNA in the food, right? Cattle, was it cattle, poultry? You know, the bird flu stuff was a huge excuse. Now dolphins, apparently.
Yeah, that's the next pandemic, apparently.
Yeah. You know, I've been talking about this crap for 2 years, Chris.
I know. I brought that up on American Unplugged. Yeah.
Yeah. And now people are talking about it because they're aggregating what other people are covering. I brought this to you 2 years ago. You know, I talked about, what is this about? What is the bird flu about? What is the African swine flu about? What is this about? It's about, because I did other research. And I think that was that a midterm was going on around there or something like that?
Around that time, yeah.
Yeah, so nobody was paying attention, but I was paying attention. And I said, they are rolling out all of this capital investment into mRNA technology that we know doesn't work. Right. We know it's sick. You know, it's going to make you sick. It's going to make the animals sick. They kicked me off YouTube for talking about it for life, forever.
Wow.
I didn't even get the full, you know, the full rectal exam, right? I just got I kind of got the nudge, like the probe to say, hey, we're knuckle deep,
supposedly.
Yeah, we're going to give you one strike. You know what? Okay, your strike's gone. We'll give you two strikes. You know what? Now, boom.
Now, is that the official Knights of the Storm account or a Foxhole?
Yes. No. Yes. Okay. Now, I do have another one that I haven't posted anything to yet because it's tied to my personal account. Right. And I'm telling you, when your account on YouTube gets banned for life, half the websites you go to, you won't be able to log into because it's tied to your Google account as well. Yeah. And I found that out the hard way. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is I understand Adam's feeling. What do I talk about? What do I talk about? I think a lot of us are going through that right now because all the focus is on Biden and Trump and then RFK Jr.
There's so much
going on right now. There's so much going on right now that nobody's talking about because they're focused there, that this is like it's kind of like low hanging fruit, but it's just kind of hard to find through the bushes because they hide it. And, but there's so much to talk about. And this stuff that they're coming out with now with the mRNA and the food, I've been talking about for 2 years. Again, that was out there a couple of years ago. It got me kicked off YouTube for life. Now it's becoming a reality.
Speak to that. Have you been threatened at all?
No, deplatformed. Right. Deplatformed. They mess with your numbers. Now, we've done this in real time. I've done it with you. I've done it with Tiger. You both know that.
Yeah.
I can literally go on to, like, say, YouTube is really bad about this, but I've seen it on Rumble as well. I can go on there, and it'll tell me there's 10 people watching live, but there's 20 people in the live chat talking about the topics. How is that possible? Okay, we're not post turtles. We're the buried. We're buried under the post. So they're killing our names, our shows straight away. And I don't know why. I mean, it's going to get them views. It's going to get them advertising money. I mean,
did a whole show on that with even like people like InfoWars are trying to tear down the everyday man that, was doing a podcast and everything. And you had an
We did that together. Talk about that. Yeah. So, Little John, he's one of our listeners, friend of the show, friend who watches David Knight. He watches you. He watches me. He watches Tiger. He called into InfoWars to talk about an actual legit subject that was pretty good. It was a good call. And then he was talking about the aggression and anger that everyone has right now because of what's going on, road rage and stuff like that. And he asked if that was like by design, which I would agree with him was, is to keep us focused inward at each other instead of outward towards government. Anyway, and then he mentioned that he had some friends that he associated with that kind of made him feel better. And he mentioned Knights of the Storm, which is our website. You're featured there, Chris. I'm featured there. And they put it up without vetting it whatsoever. They put it up on the screen, rolled through it, and then they went to commercial break. Well, then, because David Knight, which is
I remember that. Yeah.
David Knight started on InfoWars, at least in the big picture. He started on InfoWars, and him and Alex had a disagreement. And Alex fired him and his son, claiming that it was because of money, but he had a record year that year. So it was
actually about David's stance on Trump, right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. So during the commercial break, they went through the website and saw that we had started our show and multiple shows out of the David Knight chat. And so they come back on and spent the entire, 2 hours, the rest of the 2 hours
debunking it,
trying to discredit individual podcasters. But then right at the end, what did they have? They had two people on that were in their living room, right?
That's right. Yeah.
It was kind of funny, but yeah, we did
a little on that. That was a good call, a good setup. Yeah. I like that.
And yeah. I spent a lot of time. I spent probably 10 hours, 10, 12 hours that day getting clips ready. And I called you and Franco. I said, hey, let's do a show on this. Let's rebut this shit because no way. No way this guy's going to get away with just taking a punching down. So we punched back up.
That's right.
And, yeah, we sure did.
It's fun.
But and I know a lot of my listeners are a lot of my listeners are Alex Jones fans. And that's fine. You want to listen to Alex Jones? That's fine. He puts out some good stuff. But understand, he's a sellout.
Full disclosure, I never trusted after Alex took his persona. Just me, not speaking for Jason or the people that listen to Jason. I've never trusted Alex Jones since the late 90s, early 2000s. Because I really do feel like he took his main persona from a guy who literally was gunned down on his front porch. Guy by the name of William Cooper in the year 2001.
He really did steal his persona. And
he did, in my opinion, he did. So Alex Jones can go you know where. And Alex Jones with this Bohemian Grove video and everything,
he wouldn't get in there unless he knew somebody.
Thank you. And I've had arguments with people I really respect about that. And he was given street credit when it comes to the conspiracy culture. Because he was given access to film in Bohemian Grove, which he would use for decades later in terms of credibility. But when he did that bullshit Sandy Hook trial stuff, he kind of showed his true colors when he was hanging around with the people that were suing him. He's hanging out in the parking lot. And even in the courtroom itself, he was getting... the people that were suing him were giving him going and getting aspirin and water for Alex, and it was caught on film, I think on purpose, to show people, you know what?
Well, so this
it's all Wizard of Oz shit, Jason. You know.
So that. This goes back to what I was talking about with Tucker, Dan Bongino, you know, Russell Brand. Okay. So you get somebody out there, and I'm telling you, Alex Jones is fine to listen to if you have discernment. If you're going to be a fanatic and go 100% in, you're going to be deceived. Right. So there's going to be, this is what they do. And this is the devil's oldest trick in the book. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis.
Right.
Right. Did God not say you could eat from any fruit? So he kind of told the truth, right? And then he told a lie with it.
But it was a poisonous fruit.
Yeah. So that is the oldest trick in our history, in our recorded history. If you believe the Bible, I do believe the Bible is recorded history, but you can believe me or not believe me, but just look at history. They always mix the truth in with a lie to discredit the truth. So if Alex tells you all of this truth and you're like, wow, I'm awake now, and I got to give him credit for that. He woke a lot of people up. But if people go fanatic into it and they believe everything that he says, the next thing he says is easily discreditable. Now the entire baby gets thrown out with the bathwater.
Yeah, but he woke up a lot of people up, but with the information, who gave him that information?
That's another question that nobody asks. And he says it all the time.
I know I help people. I know them. Trust me.
I have CIA and my family. I have the documents.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
That
then you say something completely, you just give us like a bunch of truth on a bunch of stuff, and then you make some bombastic claim and say, go look it up. Go look it up. It's like, no, you provide the evidence.
I have the documents. Hey, Joe Rogan. Hey, show it on the screen. Okay, I got the documents.
Yeah, I'm sick of Alex Jones.
Yeah. I know our show can be boring sometimes because we bring up a lot of documents, but we do that to show that we're not full of shit.
Exactly.
You know, that's it. And it doesn't matter. Even you do that. And I really did that so we wouldn't get kicked off YouTube, but they still kicked us off, even though every single thing we said was 100% verified.
Oh, they didn't care about your documents. They still said, oh, you're full of shit. You're out. You're gone.
Well, that's the new model now, Chris. And we can see this with love him or hate him, but Steven Crowder. Okay. Steven Crowder became wildly popular on, and I watched him.
Why is actually, that, Jason? Why did he become wildly popular? Why?
Because he was hitting on the things that people wanted to hear about.
No, he was propped up behind the scenes, and I've seen. Yeah. I looked into him, like Tim Pool. They were propped up.
Right. Well, you know,
no one asked about who propped them up, but they were propped up.
Oh yeah, of course they're propped up. But anyway, one thing that they found out, that YouTube found out with him, was when he started pushing back. You know, whether it be. Maybe it was to get street cred. I don't know. Maybe the whole suing and the canceling was for street cred, because that gets people street cred. It's the victimization.
Like sneaking into Bohemian Grove and not getting murdered.
Or like Trump with what he's doing right now with all this nonsense. Make yourself a victim. And I wrote an article, a funny like satire article on it. It's
Where
called.
Where can people
like,
find that, Jason?
On my Substack. It was one of my first articles I did. And it was Trump using Stacey Abrams' tactic of winning through losing.
Address so people can find that?
You caught me off guard, man.
You gotta promote yourself in this world, so
I'll pull it up while we're talking.
Sure.
But back to Steven Crowder.
Yeah.
One thing that YouTube learned was that Steven Crowder got canceled many times, and they went to court. He had his half Asian lawyer is what he calls him. My half Asian lawyer. I forget his name.
Half Asian.
That's what he calls him. Like he tries to be offensive.
Half Oriental lawyer.
Yeah. But they took YouTube to court over and over and over again and kept winning and winning and winning. So I think what YouTube learned is that if you're going to cancel someone, cancel them before they're big enough to pay for a lawyer. And that's where they got me, because every single thing, if I had the money to get a decent attorney and vet all my information, and I could probably sue them for millions, but it would cost me millions to do that. And they know that. So now what they're doing is, instead of cutting the rungs off somewhere midway of the ladder, when it comes to us putting out information, they're cutting the bottom rungs off. So you can't even start. And they're going even further than that now. Yeah. Now everything is online based. Like, look, we stream from, we don't use OBS Studio, which we could, right? OBS Studio runs on your computer, which is really great because it's really highly customizable. A little bit of a learning curve, but you could do a hell of a lot more with it. The thing is that, and we experienced this, I think, on our second or third episode on Knights of the Storm, my internet just went out. But because we run as an internet-based thing, Tiger was able to take over because the stream kept going because it's internet run and everything is going cloud-based now. That's a freaking tripwire, man. Because once everything's cloud-based and subscription-based, once they know who you are, they can just cancel your subscription. And we're doing a video like this. Mine a bunch. Say what?
I think they canceled mine a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's you know, that I don't know. I don't know how we got on that topic.
No, but no, I'm just saying for people that out there that may want to read your Substack article.
Let me find it real quick. It's you know, you want the best thing to do is go to theknightsofthestorm.com. Theknightsofthestorm.com. This is all one word. And then you can see we have podcasts listed there, including Chris and myself and Tony and David Knight and Gardner Goldsmith, a lot of people. But under the Read tab, go to the Read tab, and you can see great books by people like Donald Jeffries and Gardner Goldsmith, and Dr. LaGuardia has a really good book. You might want to look at this.
No, we got this too.
Oh, that's Jason. Cool World Order. I'm sorry, wrong one.
Anyway, we also have people that have questions for you. Creative Accident says his ex-wife admitted he was let into Bohemian Grove.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Creative Accidents.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, no, I just realized I had this function where I could show it on the screen. I'm an idiot, folks. Anyway, so. They can find it on.
Yeah, let me preface this real quick. Sure, so we started Knights of the Storm.
Yep.
Theknightsofthestorm.com. I started that website really not so much to promote us, but to promote our friends that do other shows, including Chris. And I didn't really focus on us too much. I'm starting to do that now because I want it to be able to like somehow pay for itself because my wife's beating me over the head about, you know, the monthly costs of running a website. The streaming.
Well, do you have a place where people can donate for your efforts?
Yeah, there's actually a donate. I finally put a donate button up there on the far right. The far right tab has a PayPal donate link. Or if you go onto Rumble when we're live, you could drop a tip, which I finally
got. I was going to ask you about that. Was the Rumble tips like to be trusted? Because I had heard different things.
So I that's kind of my bad. I set it up, if I had just left it alone, there would be a little cash out button. So if people left tips, I could have cashed out, but for some reason I thought I had to go sign up for like a professional package, and I signed up for the free one, and then that cash out button goes away. And I've emailed them a dozen times about it. No replies back. But finally, over the past, year and a half, almost 2 years, I've been doing Foxhole. They cashed me out. It was $71, which is cool. You know,
I never had that myself. They say that I made 5 cents in the last 2 months. Or
whatever. Oh yeah. On the advertising, you don't make crap on Rumble for advertising. Just so people know, we're not doing this for the money.
No,
no, there's no money in it.
I'm struggling right now, folks.
But yeah. I mean, if you can get to a million, like the post hurdle I'm talking about, and I really wish I could bust this guy out. Cause I've actually gotten this.
Go
chat.
For it, Jason. It's free speech.
No, I don't want to.
All right.
You know, he's got his thing going on, man. Let him. You know, people get
is it Joe Rogan?
No. It's some kid you would never have heard of. He's got nothing going on. He's some young guy. He looks like he's stoned out of his gourd, just babbling on a screen. He doesn't even show you what he's looking at. He just you know, and I guess everyone else is stoned and just throwing money at him. I guess they have money for that.
I'm not stoned, I don't have the money for it. So
yeah, it's insane. Like the people that make it in this space. And when you tell the truth, it's a small percentage of the population that actually want to hear the truth. And you know what? Real quick. Have you seen the movie Don't Look Up?
I've heard of it. And I think it has to do with a meteor.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got Leonardo DiCaprio. It's got Meryl Streep as the president in that. It is
Meryl Streep, like strep throat. Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep. No, Meryl Streep is more appropriate.
I call her strep, but.
Well, she called Harvey Weinstein God at the Academy Awards, so she is like strep throat. She's horrible.
Well,
horrible.
The movie is, it was actually pretty good. I watched it last night, and it's actually pretty good as far as like how people, you know, an immediate danger, an immediate threat in your face is not as important as the fantasy we've created.
Right.
And it goes all the way to the end. And I watched it to the end, and I don't want to give it away, but if you go to the end and you think it's over, wait a few more minutes and there's another scene that's hilarious.
Like it's life hilarious. Doesn't completely end.
Well, like the people who were living in Fantasyland made it, but then their stupidity got them in the end. Okay. I don't want to give it away. I don't want
to spoil
it. But it's actually a pretty good movie, man. Pretty good movie. If you relate it to what's going on in the last, you know, COVID years up to today, you can see there's a lot of parallels there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going back to your question, your list of questions, I didn't
see. Okay. Yeah. So I want to talk about the, we talked about voting cycles, right?
Yeah.
Voting cycles, like, and you know this as well as I do. When there's a voting cycle going on, whether it's a presidential election or a midterm, like all the media turns to that. Everything turns to that. And then that's when they slide in stuff. Like they like to do it at midnight on Christmas or something. They slide in right. This nasty stuff.
Like the Patriot Act.
The Patriot Act or the pandemic treaty, right? There was a few of us reporting on that. Nobody was paying attention. There was the stuff that's going on in the food. That really took off really big time. I think the last midterms is when that was really being pushed through. Right. But anyway, that's a big thing is these voting cycles we have to watch. And what one thing you can do, one thing I like to do is go into the government, the federal registry and look at executive orders that are signed over those periods of time. Because a lot of times all the media will be wrapped up with like Trump going to court or Biden falling up the stairs, which is amazing. He's a magician. They'll talk about that or falling off a bicycle. But really what's happening is there's executive orders being signed that no one's paying attention to. And, you know, it happens
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel what Adam was saying, you know, why do all this research if you got only 20 people that are really, you know, and I know he had a huge podcast that were interested in the red pill thing.
Yeah,
but his Patreon. It was a
good concept for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about that is joining us now. Adam had a podcast called Deborah Gets Red Pilled.
Good show.
Yeah, it was great. I was fascinated by the concept when I first heard about it, and I was fortunate enough to be a guest on it a couple of times. But the idea was that he would take his mother-in-law, Deborah, and introduce her to these wild, you know, out there conspiracy theories and have guests on to try to convince Deborah that maybe there was something to what they were talking about. And he did that with his mother-in-law, Deborah, for quite a while. And then eventually Deborah, you know, I guess maybe from what I remember, maybe she got kind of tired of doing it or whatever, but he ended up having a co-host named Mr. X. And I got to talk to Mr. X a bunch, like offline or whatever. And, it was a good show. Like they went into things that, you know, from a layman's term, cause they were always trying to convince, Deborah, you know, that maybe some of these things were real. And Deborah was just coming from like a non-conspiracy theory background. And, and I guess the podcast, from what he was telling me last week before I had him on tonight, it kind of just ran its course. And that was another reason why I wanted to have him on to kind of ask him what he learned over the course of this excellent podcast, in my opinion, just the concept itself. So that's another reason why I had Adam on back on. And he was able to create a life for him and his wife out in Oregon where he's not attached to like the city anywhere. And he's living off the land. And that's something that I have always strived for. And we have a thing with Jason Barker, Knights of the Storm webpage. I'll bring it up right here. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, thanks. So this is what I was talking about. If you go here, and I agree with John Henry. I don't think that Alex has always been legit. I think Alex stole the persona right away, probably with good intentions. But, you know, I think he got sold out over time.
I think it was a money thing, in my opinion. My opinion, I think it was a money thing. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, going back to where you can where you can find us. So the home, this is our home, right? Watch, I'm trying to get this worked out where you can watch us live. So it'll either be the last episode, or if it's live, it'll be the current episode. That's going to have to be an extra pay for thing for me to do. So I have to come manually update this after the show every time. One really cool thing we got going on here, podcasts.
Yeah.
That's this third tab over. I've got all of these folks here, and shout out to Mike Strange. He's on right now. Sorry, brother. I was going to watch it tonight, but I'm live with Chris. So
sorry about that. I didn't know that.
Okay. No, it's cool. Mike Strange is really cool. This is where I get away from politics. I go here, or I go to Infinite Fringe with Billy Ray, which kind of covers somewhat politics.
I was supposed to do an episode with him on Saddam Hussein's first death, but I ended up doing that with Angus Mustang as the potluck episode of Event Horizon that is currently up right now.
So. That was fun. But yeah, we got all these people here, and this is something new I added to the site. So if I go, like, let's say Tiger's Den, right? Or let's go to yours, Digging Chris Graves. I can just click on the picture, and it's actually piping me through to your Spotify.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So all of your, the last one I have up, you had Rat Salad Review on. That was
a great one.
Yeah. And I mean, if they get uploaded to Spotify, they auto update here. And when you listen to it here, then Chris gets credit on his Spotify. So maybe at some point, if he gets enough listens, he can actually make some ad revenue or something.
Hey, actually, while you have that up right there, you see a couple episodes down, it says Supernatural edit with
yeah, that was a good one, man.
She's a friend of mine from a long time ago. She actually was a survivor of the Columbine massacre, or tragedy. It was a tragedy massacre, all in the same. And I was actually hesitant to go back into that with her, just because, you know, you don't want to keep bringing up the, you know, something that was such a horrible thing, but she seemed to be receptive to it. And we went back into like what she saw, because a bunch of the episodes I did with Jen Small got deleted from, you know, from other podcasts I used to be associated with. So to be able to go back into some of that with her, I think she's very brave to go back into it, because she saw some things.
It is brave.
She saw some things that is not a part of the official story, like other shooters that she actually, one in which she actually did know, and another one that was an adult that was on scene that other people did see. So
that can get her disappeared real quick, brother.
She's never changed her story when the cops, the Jefferson County sheriffs, were pressuring her and others to change their story about what they saw. So that's a good one for people to check out right there. And I appreciate you having that up there. And thank you for
that, man. All the people I respect and listen to are here. And I was always trying to figure out on this website, right? Cause this is kind of a pre cookie cutter kind of website. Yeah. You just kind of plug it in. I mean, you can make it kind of your own, but I've always wondered why there's such a big space on the left and right.
Yeah.
I think that's for ads, and you'll notice there's no ads here. I don't make any money on this. This is just for my friends, you know. And speaking of friends,
who else are you supporting up there? I know Eric Peters is another one, right? And I think
Eric Peters is on here. We just got a
Courtney Turner. I had her on a bunch before. Yeah, she's great. And yeah, tell us more about the other people you have on here, because this is great.
These are typically people we either watch, like you and I and Tiger, you know, we're really fans of or whatever, and listen to. Or when people come on and I interview them, after that, I'll be like, hey, do you want to? And I always ask people's permission, because people tend to think, and I've been called a sellout and a shill and all this other crap. They're like, oh, you're putting this stuff on there because you're making money. Do you see a single ad on here?
I don't. No. I see this as a tool for helping people, like basically like a podcast TV guide almost.
It's exactly what it is. And I've actually got that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Chris, because under the schedule, because we were born out of the chat, you know, live chat where we can actually interact. So whatever the topic is, this is how we got started. Whatever the topic is, whether it's, let's say it's electric vehicles. Okay. then we start talking back and forth about electric vehicles, and people are dropping in links, they're dropping in knowledge, and they're like, wow, that's really cool. I wish that David Knight or Tony Arterburn or Eric Peters would cover this right
or
now.
Or even Mr. Gardner Goldsmith, who is on the screen right now. He's watching.
There
right
he is.
Now.
What's going on, Gard? But yeah, so we built this because we wanted people to interact in the chat. And then I really wanted people, and it's really hasn't taken off, but the forums, I have a forums area. I wanted people that interact in the chat to come into the forums and start collaborating on, like, I want to talk about this, or I want to talk about that. So two or three people can get together, and then like the Knights of the Storm or Chris Graves or somebody can host them to talk about that subject. That was kind of the idea. We're kind of about 50% there, I think.
Have you had, so you've been about 50%. So there has been some success in that era.
Okay. And let's go real quick. You want to talk about the Read the Substack? Because that article was hilarious.
Yes, so please.
Here, you got to get, and I got Masking the Truth at the top, because Masking the Truth is the number one most banned book on the planet.
Yeah.
I gave my copy to my mom. I'm going to reach out to Don at some point and ask for a signed copy and buy it from.
I don't even have a signed copy, and that's all my research.
But yeah, we got Gardner Goldsmith.
Books. Yeah, you should find it somewhere.
He's got Bite. He's got Fishing. I think there's another one I thought I was going to put on here from Gard. I thought he had a third one.
Oh, Gard has a lot of books. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but then down at the bottom here, this is where you can find our Substacks. At the bottom.
Excellent. You got Gerald Celente right there, Courtney Turner.
Yep.
And who else? Yeah, who else?
I need to get Sherry Tenpenny on here. I've been reading her.
Oh, okay. Have you had her on before?
No, I haven't. And that's why I think I reached out to her, or I was going to reach out to her. I want to get her on to talk about the mRNA and the food, which I've been talking about for two freaking years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Texas Slim back on because this new beef crap that they got going on. I'm going to go ahead and pull this down. I think that's good. You can pull it down if you
want. And that's at knightsofthestorm.com.
Yeah, theknightsofthestorm.com.
Theknightsofthestorm.com. Okay.
Yeah, let me go ahead and stop it so we can get. But yeah, I really want to get Texas Slim on, but I know he started podcasting again. And
yeah.
He's been on a lot of people's stuff. So he just maybe he overlooked the email. I've had him on a few times. Awesome dude. But there's a lot of stuff going on right now. We had Texas had a bunch of fires that killed a bunch of cattle. And then they got this mRNA crap going on and all these other regulations. And he's based out of Texas. Now, what Texas Slim does, he runs the beef initiative. .com, I think, or .org?
.com, I think it's .com, yeah.
Yeah, the beef initiative. And what you can do, and we're actually customers of not him personally, but he's the organizing person who has gotten all of these different states, and you can go to his website at the Beef Initiative and see the map of where these people are, but you can get like what you know is clean beef. It's not been injected with mRNA. It's not been fed, you know, GMO food. It's just grass fed.
GMO grass. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, corn, you know, they feed a lot of these animals.
Or even like the Bill Gates, the GMO, like fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, it's actually organic, which you could honestly call organic. And what he does is he links up these local places that get it from local farmers, and they're all certified, and they stay out of those centralized processing facilities where they all get injected with whatever, and they get mixed together. And you don't know. You might have an organic cow that filters through there, but you don't know if that winds up in your hamburger. So we have a service here where a guy comes by about every month or two. And he comes by with a van and says, hey, do you guys need some meat? And we know that it's completely organic, but it has to be done on a small level like that. It can't be like from the grocery store because you don't know what you're getting from the grocery store. So a lot of stuff's coming down the pike right now for Texas Slim. And I want to get him on to talk about the effects it's had on his, not like I said, it's not his business. He organizes it nationwide.
Right.
And it might even be further than that now. It might be. I don't know. So.
And he has a platform on Rockfin with, I'm not even going to mention the podcast, but you can find a lot of Texas Slim's appearances on Rockfin if you go there and you search his name. Also, I want to mention that Gard Goldsmith, one of the comments from a few minutes ago, he goes, I wonder if the Bohemian Grove folks wanted Alex Jones to embarrass that political hack who used to attend, David Gergen, who was a mouthpiece for Bill Clinton, actually, in the Democratic Party over the years. I 100% agree with that, Guard. You're absolutely right. We also have creative accidents, too. Radix Verum, who Chris had on the show, just lost her bank account. She posted an hour.
Wow.
And I've been in contact with Radix Verum, and she was supposed to come on one of my shows again. And creative accidents, thank you for letting me know that, because I was not aware of that. She actually is in the process of trying to finish her documentary on the Whitmer kidnapping plot by the FBI, the fake kidnapping plot, by the way. And
that's, yeah, there's great. A docu out on that right now.
Well, yeah. Hers is the big one that she's been trying to finish, that documentary. And she's been pressured, and basically throughout the history of that documentary, from being able to, you know, complete it and get it out there. She has a story to tell, and she's actually had people called on her. I don't know if Jason, if you're familiar with a phenomenon that goes on where someone will call in a false hostage situation. So the SWAT team will show up.
Yeah.
It's called swatting
people. Swatting. Yeah.
She was a victim of that a couple of times.
You know what? And that's so bad. And that could be a whole 2-hour show right there. There's literally been gamers that didn't get along, like people playing fantasy games or whatever online, and they would SWAT somebody else by calling in a fake thing like that. Yeah, so I don't know how they can tell
people murdered.
They can tell down to the centimeter where I am with my phone, right?
Exactly.
But when I call from one state, they SWAT another state. They can't figure that one out. They're all cocky. All the cops are just jacked up and hyper and cocky.
In this case, I believe it, I can't say it for sure, but it kind of points to federal branches. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, let's look at government real quick.
Yes.
Just talking about swatting.
Yep.
So somebody calls in and swats somebody else, and they can't figure out who did it.
Right.
I don't know. The guys who did, was it Dinesh D'Souza, did 2,000 mules. He was able to go purchase the information and track geofence and geolocate all these different people. Of course, they didn't give him the identities. They just knew that it was this person, this same person here and there. But the police can't do that. Really, we spend all this money on protection, right, to the federal government, the state government, your county, and they can't do the same thing that Dinesh D'Souza did. Now, what is our money going for? You know, I'm just trying to point out how incompetent government is, how expensive and incompetent it is. Look at our school systems. I was looking at, just for shits and giggles, I was looking at Google Earth today, or Google Maps and Google Earth, and looking at some of the places that I lived in, these teeny tiny towns that have like 20 houses, right? The schools, brand new brick schools with the AstroTurf, football field and the rubberized running track around it and all these grandstands. Really? These houses are falling apart right here. And the kids are coming out not knowing how to read. How incompetent, it's so inefficient. You're spending all this money on the infrastructure for the building, but the actual, what you're getting out of it is garbage. And that's what we have with all of our government, all the way up. Sorry, I didn't mean.
But then also they use that incompetence for to their advantage when they're actually doing things on purpose too.
Yeah,
and that happens with things like 9/11, where they say that the agencies didn't share their intelligence with each
other. Hey, Guard, Guard mentions right here.
Yeah,
he's going to have a good legal case against them if they don't wise up. You know what? I got a really good legal case against YouTube. Can I afford to take it on? That's the problem. Lawfare is a real thing.
Radix Verum doesn't have a chance in hell.
Yeah. With that. Yeah.
Her name's Christina, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. They know what it's going to cost. And I mean,
they will bleed you dry until you got nothing.
It's called lawfare.
Lawfare. Yeah. So there's that. And, let me see some of the other comments. I've been trying to. Good point, Chris. Okay, that was a long time ago, so I appreciate that. Gard, whatever the point was. Be right back. Going to spread the word. I love Gardner Goldsmith. Check out Liberty Conspiracy every night, 6 p.m. on Rockfin, Rumble, on Twitter. Also,
Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Monday through Friday. And he's also streaming on Free World, right? Tell everybody, Jason, about Free World and what's going on.
Oh, so Free World, yeah. Free World FM is kind of like the, what is it? Tony calls it the lifeboat for liberty or the lifeboat for free speech.
Yes.
But freeworld.fm is a radio station. They're going to work on, Melissa right now, Melissa Otterburn's working on getting the archives. So it'll be a listen on demand type thing, which is going to be kind of like,
I don't even know that. And I'm on Free World.
Yeah. It's going to be kind of tied to podcasting. Yes. So it's the same as the podcast. So if that happens, I might, you know, get rid of the podcast thing on mine because I don't want to compete, but actually it doesn't really hurt because they're all going to the same place anyway.
Right.
But we're trying to get it to be a live 24/7 between talk. There's some music. Lyndall does a great show. I need to get her on. She does Music as a Metaphor. That's a great show.
Really? Okay. Tell us about that. Cause shame on me. I should know some of my other co-hosts and stuff. And I really don't know much about what else is going on besides our good friend Tiger on Tiger Tales on Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m.
Well, there's all kinds of shows. You got David Knight. You got Gardner Goldsmith. Yep. You got myself for both of my shows. Yeah. You got Tiger's
Event Horizon has a slot now, too,
yep, right? Event Horizon. Some of it's pre-recorded. Some of it's live. And there is a live chat. And the live chat's pretty dope, actually. The live chat it's more functional than any video platform chat you'll ever see.
We got Rat Salad too, our good friend
Rat Salad Review. Yeah. And they, you know, they'll pay attention to the chat and you can interact with the actual live DJ. But then, you know, later on, they're going to get it to where if you like say missed a show or whatever, then you can go listen to it later. And, I think Melissa's working on that now. So we'll see. There's a third party that's got a different website that does that portion of it.
Right.
So that I know that's on their to-do list.
Okay.
But right now we've tried to fill it up. It used to be a bunch of just like kind of random music and stuff with some talk shows here and there.
Yeah.
But I've been working with them and working the schedule a little bit, trying to make sure that we fill it all out. And so Tiger Tales, right? So Tiger Tales is live. When is he's live on Saturday nights? It was
Saturday night, 8 to 10 p.m. on freeworld.fm. And that chat is awesome because with the second hour, you could put in requests for different songs and it's a good party situation.
Yeah. And what I've done was before David Knight comes on Monday, I replay that. So it's kind of a good way to start the week because it's a positive. He has positive messaging, funny stories, stuff like that. It's kind of a way to break from the doom and gloom.
Yeah. And it's helped me out personally, to be honest.
Me too.
Deliveries and stuff. Yeah.
And then I schedule them again on Saturday mornings before we do Knights of the Storm, just so people get in the right mindset.
What time is that, Jason, for everybody?
Knights of the Storm, we do that at
9 p.m.
10 a.m. Eastern. I switch time zones, so I always
do that. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, so it's 9 my time, but 10 a.m. Eastern. And we've gone from an hour show to up to 2 hours, usually about an hour and a half, but sometimes we'll do the full 2 hours.
Yeah.
Same with Foxhole. I've gave myself 2 hours for that show as well, which is where I look at the same kind of like what's going on in the U.S. here.
Yeah.
Actually globally. But I look at it from a military aspect as if we're being attacked because we are. And Knights of the Storm, we kind of look at all kinds.
What days and times is the Foxhole on?
The Foxhole. So on, it plays Tuesdays on Free World at, was it 9?
Cause I know you've kind of moved things around. One show was on Friday nights now.
I do Friday nights now. I do Friday nights for Foxhole. Like I said, go to theknightsofthestorm.com. It's all there on the schedule. It's the easiest thing for me. Cause there's so many I keep track of in my head. Chris knows I'm tracking a lot of different shows, dealing with a lot of stuff, so it's hard to know, especially when you're translating time zones in your head.
Exactly.
But theknightsofthestorm.com, it's all there.
Okay.
Yep, I love it.
So we got Event Horizon, the Knights of the Storm, Tiger Tales. We got Digging Chris Graves, which I'm not actually sure what day and time that's on anymore. We had Get Mad with Chris Graves replays on Monday. Oh, it's still there. Okay. Yeah,
still there.
Cranium Blender was my MTV style, VJ style music show that I got to really revamp. And I've been working behind the scenes. I've been talking with Melissa about different things with that. So that will be coming back soon.
Oh, can I tell you about one more thing?
Please do.
And you could do this for to fill in some of, if you're not doing the cranium blender, you can throw these in there. But Wayne McCroy, which does Alchemical Lantern and the Alchemical Tech Revolution, those are pretty good shows. And those run about, what do they run? 2 hours, I think.
About 2 hours. It's, and you also have a guy that I've corresponded with a bunch too that talks about serial killer phenomenon, William Ramsey too.
Yeah. So check it out. Wayne McCroy. I talked to Wayne, I talked to Tiger, and then myself, I talked to Melissa. What we're doing is we're putting together 30-minute mixes of music we like.
Okay.
And then you can mix them in with a little station identification or just however you can talk about the band, whatever. You just do a 30-minute solid mix.
Yeah.
I'm throwing them in, and like anywhere we have like a little spot where it would normally just play like random stuff, it's gonna play these 30-minute mixes. So Wayne's pretty dope, man. Surprised me and Wayne have the same taste in music. He's got really good taste in music. But Tiger's gonna do some. I've done one. I've got two more I'm working on. But it's just basically you just get some kind of audio editor.
Some,
like a theme kind of music. You throw it all together. Guard sent me some. I need to put yours together, Guard. It's just a 30-minute boom. And anytime. And then what I'm trying to get to is like, let's just say for whatever reason, I do my show. And like I said, I have a 2-hour slot, but I only go an hour and a half. Then I'm trying to get it to queue up that music after.
Right.
It's kind of like that. That's a little bit of a difficult one. I'm going to have to get a hold of the webmaster to figure that out, because it tends to want to start a replay of another show first. So, that one out. Yeah.
Okay. So we got Knights of the Storm, the Foxhole. We got Tiger Tales on Saturday night. We got Digging Chris Graves, Cranium Blender, Get Mad with Chris Graves. We got America Unplugged at noontime on Saturdays. We have Wayne McCroy. We also have Rat Salad Review on Wednesdays, and he took up the spot that I originally had with Cranium Blender on, is it 9 p.m. on Wednesday?
Yeah, he asked if he could do it earlier, and then
too. So, but I just want to make sure it's correct. 9 p.m. on Wednesdays, Rat Salad Review, and his name is Wayne Noon, and he's a good dude. Yeah. He's a good dude as well. Am I missing anybody now that I think about it?
We got a few more. You know, Tony's got his Wise Wolf show. He's got
Wise Wolf.
He's also got Paratrooper, which you're on, and Mr. Anderson.
And then he's got the Arterburn radio transmission, which I think is coming back on Thursdays, or is it still Fridays?
I don't know. And you know, that's one of the things is they're trying to fix that schedule thing, because the schedule's not right on the website. Right. But that, like I said, that's a separate entity. So they have their checklist of things. I think we're planning on a relaunch in July is the time frame. Yeah.
And we also have I Protest. No, we have the John Jeffers
show. And I think I Protest is also on there.
Well, that's on Fridays at 5 to 7 p.m. And the Donald Jeffries show, which he used to do on the O'Chilly Network that I used to be on, the new version of that is on freeworld.fm as well. And that's on Wednesdays. And it was before my show that was originally, it was on at eight or nine. Right. So now I don't want to get this wrong, but I think the Donald Jeffries show is on at from 6 to 8 PM, I believe, on Wednesday.
And I'll just say this, we have a lot of people, a lot of moving parts, a lot of good, pretty much, the slots are pretty much filled out for the most part, but the good thing is that if they, whatever, for whatever reason, they can't podcast or broadcast live, it always plays a replay of their specific show. And I just uploaded all the Paratroopers. I went and got them from Tony's site, and those are some of the best podcasts I've ever heard. It's really good. I like the Paratroopers.
Paratrooper. Yeah. We got a couple of coming up. I think recently we did one on a Montauk Island, which was off the coast of Long Island, New York, and it was the basis for the show Stranger Things that is on Netflix. Originally, the creators, the Duffer Brothers, I believe they were called, their names, they pitched it to Netflix as called Montauk. Then Netflix kind of wanted to change it to be taking place in the Midwest. So then they ended up calling it Stranger Things after that. But we got a bunch of shows in the pipeline coming up. I may be having some Vegas shooting witnesses come on, talking about people on the ground that were not up in the Mandalay Bay shooting down the crowd. Let's see if they come through. I have a couple of 9/11 firefighters that were involved. They got injured in those secondary explosions that never existed, folks. And maybe even a JFK Jr. witness that might come
forward. Holy smokes.
Holy Shatner, everybody. Anyway, hey, Jason,
can I hit one more topic real quick?
Please, sure.
This is something I wanted to talk to Adam about, and I'm just going to leave the audience with this.
Sure.
So we talk about, you guys talked a little bit about aliens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, are they from space? Are they demons? Are they lizard
people? Interdimensional time travelers, so, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I just want to pose this question to people. If you believe in, like, if you're not a godly person and believe in the Bible and, you know, the young earth theory.
I'm agnostic, by the way. I don't know if there is. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying there isn't. So
just let's just say that people have been around for 10,000, 20,000 years or whatever.
Sure.
And we agree that the universe is the way it is and the, you know, all this stuff. So my question is, if aliens came from a faraway place to our planet. And this is something I wanted to ask Adam about, because I think he would have enjoyed that, especially being that he's kind of like come to Christ now and everything.
Well, you know, Jason, I would hope that you would reach out to him still. Like,
I wanted to come on and ask him if he could.
No, but I mean, even on the foxhole, like I apologize. Like,
no, it's okay. You were producing.
What I'm saying, like, stuff. I think you, in my opinion, and maybe I should be talking to you about this off the air or whatever. You should still reach out to him. Like, I can give you his contact info.
Okay, I would appreciate that, Chris. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Sure. But this is what I want people to think about, right? I want people to think about this. If aliens came to visit us from actual outer space, from like another galaxy or another, there's multiple galaxies, another solar system.
Or interdimensional, whatever.
Yeah. If let's just say that a planet that hosted alien life on it that was to a stage of development that they could fly through space, that might be 20,000 light years away. So why would they come here? Because what were we 20,000 years ago? We would have been non-interesting. Look at that planet. You know, there's nothing going on there. I think they would have passed us up. That's just something to think about. The time.
Can I chime in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, someone to take your term. Can I chime in here? Could it be that they saw a primitive race of beings or species of beings, and maybe wanted to do something that human beings nowadays would do with a primitive race? And experiment and maybe like almost like a zoo like situation.
Well, I mean, think about this. If they were 20,000 light years, assuming they could travel at the speed of light,
right?
It would take them 20,000 years to get here. But think about this, for them to observe our planet, the light would have taken 20,000 years to get to them for them to observe.
What if they were to utilize wormhole technology though?
Well, and now that's what I was watching today with Stargate, right? So Stargate.
Exactly.
It was just the alien thing. I just wanted to throw it out there. If people think that people are, you know, aliens are coming from other planets in a spaceship, I don't think that's feasible. Unless the only thing I could think is,
you're not alone in that. A lot of people don't think it's feasible.
Yeah. Now I would consider it to be interdimensional travel.
That's that's where I come from.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, the theory goes along with, you know, heaven and hell and earth is they're three different dimensions. And what we're seeing,
I always thought if there was a heaven and hell, and I'm not saying there is or isn't, it would have to be a different dimension.
It would be
not here on earth.
I think that jives with the Bible too, because it talks about a great division or a great chasm or something like that. I forget the exact terminology, but there was an uncrossable barrier that you can't physically cross. And that to me would be a phase shifting from dimension to dimension.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Holy Shatner, guard says.
From earlier. He goes, all right, I can't wait for those guests. Me neither, guard. I hope it comes to fruition. And, we got David Brin's book called David Brin's Uplift Wars books. I'm not familiar with that guard, but I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, I don't know. The whole alien thing, you know what? I think there is other life out in, whether it's our own universe out in the cosmos, and whether it's like way too far away to get here, doesn't mean that it may not exist somewhere else. But I think it personally, it's probably an interdimensional thing. And I'll even give you this one too. This theory is that UFOs and whoever occupies UFOs are right here from Earth the whole time.
Either from the future.
Well, there's that. Whether they are human beings from the future, and that's why they have that appearance that they have. But there's also the theory of a breakaway civilization that is from within the Earth or the ocean already.
Yeah, you're talking about like an Atlantis or a Hollow Earth kind of
thing. There's that. Yeah. There's that, but also just not even the Atlantis thing, but UFOs may just originate from here and be a different version of human beings from, you know, on a different playing field when it comes to evolution, possibly. Whether you believe in evolution or not, just other human beings, just the others. I'm not saying that I believe in it. I'm open to anything, Jason. I really am. I'm not closed off on any of this stuff. And you want to know something? The most fascinating thing I heard about a long time ago, so like 2006, I think, it was the Vatican Observatory. The scientists there were making the claims that not only did they believe that we had extraterrestrial brothers within our own universe, but that whatever planets they may have came from may have been absolved of original sin, because their version of Adam and Eve never took the apple from Satan. And that always fascinated me too.
But what if it was a plum?
What if it was a plum, then you damn well, you know, there you go. We're all screwed. I don't know. Anyway, so what do you got coming up, if anything, in terms of goals and things with the podcast, with your
life? With the podcast, I don't know, man. I don't really have anything planned. I kind of want to touch on some of the EV stuff. I've been talking with Eric Peters. He's actually pretty cool.
Tell everyone about what you mean by EV, if they're not familiar.
Electric vehicles.
Okay.
He wrote an interesting article I might cover. I don't know. I don't know if I want to cover that on, because Angus Mustang also sent me something on electric vehicles as well. So I don't want to steal his thunder by doing it on a Foxhole. I might want to do it on Knights of the Storm, because he's my co-host there.
Yes.
But a lot of stuff on the EVs, a lot of bogus numbers coming out to try to show or bolster that they're popular when they're actually very unpopular.
Right.
You know, and Eric, we just had Eric on, so I don't want to ask him on again, you know, to repeat what he said last time, but it was a great interview, by the way, one of the most popular ones we ever had.
Now, who do you have on recently? It was a woman named by the name of
Melanie. Yeah. Melanie and I, that was kind of an interesting conversation. I did not know how that show would go. It actually went for two episodes. The last two.
What was the concept for the two
episodes? It was hackable humans. That was Yuval Harari talking about humans being hackable. So we had that conversation about what does that mean that you're hackable?
Right.
And at first I was like, this is nonsense. But, you know, when I really looked at it, I think hacking wasn't the right word to use, but everything he talked about was pretty much correct. And we could see it happening in real time, where people are malleable, they're easily manipulated, they're swayable, and with AI,
can I dare to say MK Ultra
possible? Without the drugs, is what they're doing. They're using digital dopamine, is what they're using, and what they're doing is they're getting you on these social media platforms, gathering all this massive information about you, storing it in a freaking data warehouse somewhere. Right. And then now they have the AI sifting through it, trying to do predictive analysis of what they think you're going to do. And it's for a two part. I think the first part right now is to try to get you to vote a certain way, to buy a certain thing. We've done this with advertising for decades and decades. I mean, ever since the invention of the newspaper, we've manipulated people's persuasion, or, you know, persuaded them to go a certain direction. And one of the things that brought up was the silly hats. back in like the 1800s, the silly, stupid hats that people wore that served absolutely no function. Right. Not 18, the early 1900s. Sorry.
You know, the bowlers.
No, just the crazy, weird hat things. Like that was a thing back then, especially for women. They would have to hairpin them in their hair.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like it serves no function. Right. It literally does nothing but waste your money and make you look silly. But people wanted to have it, and they were swayed that way somehow. Right. To buy something that's absolutely useless. Anyway, that
happens all the time nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, like people buying golden shoes from Trump, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so I think that hacking, when they talk about hacking, I think what they mean is manipulating, which I guess could be used interchangeably. But they'll take all this stuff that you've voluntarily given over through your social media, your phone calls, even they've been recording those forever. Yep. Even people talk about the post office been checking out your mail, at least who you're mailing to and from, at least recording those.
They're doing that since the 60s with the anti-war movement. They were opening up everyone's mail.
Yeah. So I see two things coming with that. I see that, number one, they're going to sway you to do, like I said, vote a certain way by targeting you with certain ads. They might do pre-crime.
That's like the Cambridge Analytica stuff that Billy Ray Valentine talks about.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to get him on to talk about that. That actually might be something that I come on, ask him to come on for. But I think what's really dangerous right now is they're putting so much faith in the AI that it's right, but it's really garbage in and garbage out.
Oh, yeah.
And what's going to happen with all these, you know, First Amendment violations of saying things? What's going to happen when you might say something? What's going to happen when you might commit a crime with a gun? What's going to happen when you might do this? Anticipatory intelligence is going to be our downfall. We're going to go right into what was that movie with the pre-crime?
Minority Report.
Yeah, Minority. We're getting into Minority Report area right now, and that's where they're going, because they want
Spielberg Steven Spielberg had a whole bunch of different meetings with the Pentagon in 1988, right before that.
If you look at what's happened to us, Chris, they've cut us off at the bottom rung when we got started podcasting, anticipatory that we might be a problem later. So let's cut them off now. Do you think they're not going to do the same thing in every aspect of your life?
Yeah.
You know, so not just doing a podcast, but even putting a tweet out or making a phone call even. I mean,
I'll go you one further, not to scare everyone, but I think they're not. I don't think they're below. What's the word? I think it's sending a drone to your house to blow your fucking head off or burn your house down.
Yeah, well,
the realm of possibility.
That's already happened.
It has.
I don't know if you remember this, but they took that bomb dearming drone and put bombs on it. And there was a guy holed up in like a parking garage, and they drove in there and blew him up. And that was a big controversy. It was like 2 years ago. Remember that?
I do remember that, but going back to like 2012, 2013, they ended up killing a man and his son that they claimed were terrorists. They took a drone and blew them down.
No due process, is there? It was just
that was under Obama. It wasn't Trumpy Dumpty. That was under Obama.
Yeah, and that's where. You know, and then my big fear is this: once we have this confidence in the AI, let's just say you're the best cop ever. You know, you're trying to, you know, everything, you're all about saving, you know, protecting the community and stuff like that. When something comes over your computer that says this person is a threat and you need, and they're armed and dangerous and eliminate them at all costs, do they have the full story, or is this coming from an AI? They don't know. They're just going to execute because it's centralized, but it's also decompartmentalized at the same time. Like the information is centralized, but the execution is decentralized. And that, you know, that could be an entire show right there. Maybe that I'll do something on that, because that's really a problem when the executing hand is separated, and then there's plausible deniability because they say, oh, so-and-so just acted beyond the scope of what they're supposed to, but really they were just following their instructions. Right. So
no, trust AI as far as I could throw it, and I don't know if I could throw it because I don't know if it's in a physical form yet, like Skynet with the T-800 and the T-1000 and the TX, which was She was pretty, pretty hot in Terminator 3.
Yeah,
but she was Christina Loken. Whoa. Anyway, let's see the last comment here from Mr. Gardner Goldsmith. The first was Sundiver, and it utilized an idea that humans had worked on certain animals to raise their mental capacity. I was not aware of that.
And I was not either.
Wow. And then he follows that up with true. Okay. So that's, wow. Hey, Gardner, is that, where is that from? If you don't mind me asking, if you could put that comment up in real time right before we head out of here. Some of these things, like so many different things that I looked up and researched over the years, like only so many things I can retain, but it doesn't surprise me.
It comes with age, Chris. Fish oil. I've been forgetting to take it, but the fish oil helps and the ginkgo biloba helps.
Yeah, and I'm like a shade under 80, 82 right now. Okay, he goes, Mr. Gardner Goldsmith says, that true thing was about the lady Terminator. Oh, that she was hot as hell. She was. She could terminate me anytime. What? Anyway. All right, so Gardner Goldsmith, the Liberty Conspiracy, which I'm always honored to be a guest on, and I was given the opportunity to talk about some of my own fictional stuff that I've been working on for years, and it was a pleasure. And Gardner, the Liberty Conspiracy, is on Rumble, it's on X, it's on Rockfin every day, Monday through
YouTube
Friday.
Now.
What's that?
YouTube. It's on YouTube now.
It's on YouTube. That's right. From Monday through Friday, every day at 6 p.m. And sometimes it goes to 8 or 9 p.m. So you get your whole fix right there, the Liberty Conspiracy. And one more time, Jason, where can people find you and how can they support your efforts and all that good stuff?
Look, theknightsofthestorm.com. I have the show, The Knights of the Storm. I have the show Foxhole. We have a donate tab there. I don't know if anyone's ever donated, but it's bright yellow. So I would appreciate that. I didn't really want to try to make any money on it, but you know, I'm kind of a fixed income now, I guess, with the
there's no shame in that. Like I'm like the digital panhandling thing, if you will. Like I didn't want to do that for the longest time, but our mutual friends John L. Jeffries talked me into starting a PayPal account a couple of years ago, and also Tony Arterburn talked me into starting a Cash App thing. So right now, if anybody wants to help us in terms of our work or research or podcasting, whatever, every little bit helps. And I'm appreciative of even anything, even just the thought of someone wanting to help my efforts. So.
Well, where can people help you out, Chris? This is your show, man. Yeah, plug yourself.
I plug myself. That sounds pretty erotic. Right. Oh, there. I'm at C Graves Mask Guy on X. I just say Twitter. I don't care about Elon, whatever. If you go to my link tree right on the thing, you can find the Cash App and the PayPal. And believe me, I doing all these deliveries and everything. It's been killing me. Anything that anybody, even like I said, even just a prayer, a thought, a nice thought, a nice, you know, comment or whatever, raises my spirits. But you're my guest right now, Jason. So tell everyone, like you said, I got it covered, man. Who do you have a little taste, like kind of like a drug dealer or whatever? Yeah. Give us a little taste of what you got going on in the foxhole on this upcoming Friday.
And I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm going to do yet.
Monday, so you're good.
Well, like I said, you know, I have the fear of repeating what other people do.
Right.
And unless I have a guest lined out, I try to wait till a couple days before so I don't, you know, I don't repeat other people's work. I'm always trying to look for something, either something new that people aren't covering or from a different angle. Yeah. I try to do that just to keep it fresh, to keep it real.
Okay.
Sometimes, and that's the anxiety part that I wanted to talk to Adam about, because, you know, I don't want to do the same show over and over and over again. And I don't want to do the show that Gard just did, or the show that David just did, or the show you just did.
Right.
So that's the tough part when there's so many of us in this circle to try to keep new information flowing, you know.
Okay.
Although sometimes it is okay to cover the same stuff if you have like a different perspective on it. I think that's okay.
Yeah, you know, different perspective, or yeah. If like the person that was on the show from like last week had a ton more material that they weren't able to cover, then that's always a pass right there.
Yeah. Know? Or if you could take two or three stories that people are covering and find a way to tie them together and find out, you know, the why is it that way?
Connect
you know?
The dots.
Yeah, like I've been working for the last couple of years covering the bird flu stuff.
Yeah.
Covering the cow mRNA injections, the swine flu mRNA. Yeah. I've been covering the bird flu mRNA injections, and then also the children scheduled drugs with mRNA as far as their required vaccinations, and I'm tying it all together now. And we also covered the mRNA in the food. Basically, what it comes down to is they want to put mRNA in you no matter what, whether you like it or not. And I'm looking for a link there with Bill Gates mosquitoes, and I have a sneaking suspicion because of the deer story we did with them talking about COVID and the deer.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be something, and I don't like to predict things or, you know, make prophecy or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to see ticks as a vessel, as a delivery method for mRNA for wildlife, because it's going to become
mosquitoes too.
Yeah. Well, the mosquitoes. Yeah. The mosquitoes were one thing they did, but the ticks, cause they're bad around here. You've been in Missouri, man. You've been in the Ozarks.
Yep.
You walk outside for 2 seconds, you get a tick on you.
Oh, it's bad here in Massachusetts too, dude.
Yeah. I could definitely see that being, especially if they make deer and other wildlife become like a threat, which they're already doing. We covered that a few weeks ago. I called it, oh dear. What was it? Something.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Oh dear. Something in fear. That was the name of the episode. But anyway, yeah, they're saying, oh yeah. And my mom's the one that hit me up on that. She said, have you seen this story? I'm like, no, I haven't. And so she sent it to me. It was from the FDA, I think, or FDA or USDA or something like that. But she sent it to me, and she's like, how the hell do people get within 6 feet of a deer?
Yeah.
Like, because that's the magic thing, right? 6 feet. And so she called BS. And so there's, I read
the cult significance to that number. Why Fauci put that out there, by the way.
Yeah. She told me that she saw so many red flags in that article that didn't make any sense compared to what they've told us. You know, their science is garbage. And so we covered that, and we did a whole entire freaking show on it. So then I thought to myself, again, covering the same stuff again doesn't bother me if you can tie it all together somehow. And I think that what it is, if you really want to tie it down to the very bottom line, what it is depopulation, Georgia Guidestones kind of stuff. And that's what it comes down to. And I'm glad to see that some other people are like me. They're reporting the same stuff, but I've been thinking this for a long time and trying to put these pieces together. And yeah, I'm starting to see other people coming to those same conclusions on their own, you know,
like a jump to conclusions, Matt, that I, offered up.
Yeah.
No.
Look at me. It worked out great.
You know what I'd do with $1 million? I'd do two chicks at once. We got a couple more comments here right before we end. Gardner Goldsmith also says, sometimes I cover a story that someone else covered because it just seems so important.
Yeah, I get that.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he also says, we love the work, guys. Appreciate it, Gard. We love your work. And he goes, Jason, you rock. And I agree.
Oh, nice. I sometimes punk. I sometimes rock. I sometimes country.
I like caramel. That's me. Oh, yeah, country. Okay. Yeah. Heavy metal. Yeah, thrash metal. Anyway. Yeah. All right, Jason, any final words?
No, that's it. I'm going to try to get Texas Slim on again. I'll reach out again this week, and maybe I can get him on Friday or Saturday, maybe this week. He's usually pretty responsive. So,
okay, and I got, what do I got coming up? I think I'm going to be doing another show with the great Monica Perez. I think it's either going to be on it's going to be maybe half and half, like people have their coffee, half and half, whatever. Boston bombing stuff that people don't really talk about anymore, and Virginia Tech, which a lot of people don't talk about ever. So I got that. And let me think, this whole week was kind of loaded up with different people. I got some actors from Hollywood that are going to try to have them come on. Still working on Kevin Smith. who told me he would come on years ago. So I guess we'll find out.
If you need Kevin Bacon, I'm only 2 degrees from Kevin Bacon, according to the website.
Yeah, I'm 5 degrees or whatever. Yeah, I think, yeah. Actually, did I ever meet Kevin Bacon? No, I didn't. I watched Friday the 13th, which Kevin Bacon was in. I think that counts, right?
Yeah, he was actually in that movie. I just watched that movie as well. Leave the World Behind, that was produced by Obama.
Oh, yeah, I never
bought he was in that. Not a very big showing in that. He was in there like kind of at the beginning for a couple minutes, and then he was kind of another big scene. But I'm surprised they had such a big name play such a small part.
Well, I can make all kinds of dirty jokes.
I know, right?
He played himself in the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of Disney, but I thought they did a pretty good job with that. Anyway, that's my corporate shilling right now, folks. All right, I got to go to bed, and because I'm an old fart. And Mr. Jason Barker, always a pleasure. And everybody out there, till you see me again. Thank you for watching and listening and supporting everybody. And just remember, don't kill each other unless just don't kill each other. There you go. Good night, everybody. I'm a schmuck.